From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, October the 9th, 2012. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today at the GeoInt Conference in Orlando, Florida.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Our readers weighed in recently in our annual survey and told us about how they stay connected to other professionals about news and trends in our industry. We asked readers to weigh in on social media, their conference preferences, and what they need to stay on top of industry trends and information. Some of the results may surprise you. We'll talk about that and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Well, Adina, first some basic statistics about our reader survey. We had 1,711 respondents this year. 1,532 completed the entire survey for about a 90% completion rate. I thought that was pretty good. The majority, 49%, were users or analysts versus decision makers or executive management. 43% influenced purchasing decisions. As usual, state and local government was the category of users most often cited as the industry in which they worked, which was 28% of them who responded. And the next closest category after that was education, which was far back at 8%. 68% were from the U.S., 9.5% from Canada, and India was actually third at 3.4%. The topic we most want to focus on today is just how our readers are staying in touch with the industry. I think certainly our hope is that most geospatial professionals are reading Directions daily, and a great many told us they are, but what else can we tease out from these findings? And the one I want to focus on to start is reader preferences and then social media. People are reading online sources daily. About 45% readers told us this. 40% told us they are using social media daily, while only 3% read a print magazine daily. Now, I wasn't surprised to see the daily use of social media this high, but we also asked which social media sources they were using, and I was surprised to see that 22% of our readers don't use Facebook or LinkedIn, 50% don't use Twitter or Google+. And I suspect some of this is because maybe daily use of social media is somewhat restrictive in the workplace. But let me pause there for a moment. I guess I was just a little surprised that they weren't using social media more, in particular maybe the more established ones like LinkedIn. Facebook, obviously, for more personal use, but I thought more people would be using something to stay more closely connected.
Well, it may go back to restrictions at the workplace, although the general trend seems to be that is not the best way to engage employees and to keep employees happy. So more and more employers realize that there's value in their employees going on Facebook, going on LinkedIn, going on Twitter, both for their sort of personal well-being and to do their jobs. So I suspect that's less of the issue. When you look at social media, and the number that popped out at me was that more than 50% of our readers don't use Twitter, period. Not at all.
Yeah.
And I think there's still an awful lot of people who still don't understand how it could possibly be valuable, either personally or professionally.
Right.
And I completely can understand that, because when you describe it, a way to communicate in 140 characters, but once you start plugging in and, like most things on the internet, finding your community, it can be incredibly valuable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So one of the things that I've taken away from that in terms of how we at Directions work is, if important things are happening on Twitter, conversations, links to new reports, links to articles, I feel that it's my obligation to sort of collect that stuff and make sure it is in a place where those people who are not on Twitter will find it, often on our All Points blog.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I think what people may be missing from the Twitter sphere is that people are using that as opposed to other more traditional, and I use that word lightly, the traditional online media forms. Again, people can have their own blogs, or in the past, that was the social media. People referred to blogs many years ago as that's the big social media thing. And it's been overtaken by Twitter. So many people who, you know, maybe for lack of a better word, don't have the time, go to Twitter, say, hey, I got something to tell you. They put in their link and it's out there. So it may be the preferred source for many people to get some news out there that they want to share with everyone.
Right, and it's sort of quick and dirty. And I did notice in some of the written comments that a number of people still said they use newsgroups.
Hmm, okay.
But based on the traffic on most of the newsgroups, even the big ones now, those numbers are heading down.
Yeah, they're dwindling for sure. Yeah.
Even some of the newer ones like Stack Exchange and Quora, things with sort of a Q&A feel to them, are not exceptionally busy.
Yeah. And while I haven't explored a lot of Pinterest, and that, again, of course, is more of a personal sharing, I could see that developing into something similar as well.
Well, and that had sort of its big explosion when, I guess, enough important people found it, and it was like the big thing for a week, and now you just don't hear about it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that may be sort of already in the past.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I want to talk about is conferences. Now, again, not a surprising situation here, but also indicative of something that I think is going on both in the economy and elsewhere. The majority of readers told us that they're attending state and local user groups. 53% of the people responded that they're doing so. And, of course, this was a multiple-choice question, so they could chime in on whatever conference they had. But, again, majority of the people who responded, 53% said they're going to state and more local or regional user conferences, followed only by the ESRI International User Group. The other conferences, ASPRS, the ERISA annual conferences, were all far down on the list of attendance. And again, I have to believe that the economy plays into some of this, except that I think a lot of people feel like they're most connected to a local group than any place else. Even though the ESRI user conference may be exceptional in terms of the amount of information that's supplied at that event, they just can't take it all in at one time. And the local user groups really tend to focus the content more to what's relevant to them in particular.
Yeah, actually, I was very pleased to see that attendance at sort of local and regional events was still so high. And I think there's sort of two things going on. One certainly has to do with geography. It's easier to get to a more local event. But equally important, again, with so many of our readers involved in local government, it's a great place to share with literally your neighbors how you're doing things, and often share your data, share your techniques. There's no sort of competition going on there.
Right.
Because it's all government, and that's another real pull. And you want to have folks next door that you can call up and say, well, how did you deal with this problem? And let's get together and talk about it. A lot of things can be solved on the web through all those social media that we just talked about, but there definitely is value to looking at your neighbor, who is much more likely to be like you, your neighboring town or city, than one across the country.
Yeah, and it certainly isn't like what we had seen, at least what I had seen in the mid to early 90s, where these other conferences, these other professional societies, ASPRS, although that still has a fairly large gathering, but particular, of course, with GITA going away, with ERISA, at least their annual event declining, there isn't the big show anymore. There's at least from a neutral standpoint, there isn't that big show. And so they're going to gravitate towards something that they can attend that's relatively close to them, that the cost is relatively low. They can get in a car and they can go. The registration fees are probably reasonable and very low. And so I think there's a number of factors playing into that high number on the local level.
Well, and I want to suggest one more thing. And as I prepare to go to the New England ERISA event next week, the organizers are getting the local organizers who are not event people, they're literally your neighbors who do GIS, are getting so much better at putting together a conference with content that matters to their local neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing that these conferences are the value, the return on investment for the day or two that you might spend with them is enormous. And it's a whole lot easier to take, as you suggested, than flying, in my case, across the country for a week of far too much to manage that's all over the place, as opposed to some very focused sessions that deal with the issues in our local area.
Right. I would tend to agree with that. Now, the last topic I wanted to focus on was something we have been doing for a number of years, and that is putting on webinars. And I should explain that, you know, most of our webinars are sponsored by our advertisers. Now, we certainly have comments that some of these are a little bit more advertorial in nature than they should be, although I think they convey a certain amount of information that they wouldn't necessarily get by going to these conferences. They're able to see a demo. They're able to see product information. So as our economy has suffered, the value of webinars has certainly increased. But specifically, one of the topics that was highlighted most often in our survey in terms of what they wanted to see was something called how-to. And one of the examples we give, how do I optimize databases? How do I create mashups? How do I use a certain API? More than any other choice, these how-to topics were the ones most often chosen. And one of them, and they were indicated as being the most valuable. We asked most valuable, least valuable, valuable, the choices there. And so I was a little surprised here because that does seem to be the way that people can stay on top of latest product information, but also, is this the way that people want to learn? And you've seen it firsthand with the value of online courses, and I wonder if that's being translated into what they want to see here in a more condensed fashion, the one-hour format, for example.
I think that's exactly what's happening, and especially, you know, if we can, with our partners, make these available for free live, and then for free later if you happen to miss it, that's a win-win for anybody who's trying to learn more about the topic. Now, one of the distinctions that I want to make is that we had two sort of categories that were somewhat related. We had this how-to category, and we also had one called instructional or educational courses for continuing education credits. And that one didn't do as well. People weren't as excited about that. I think what that reflects is the difference between training, which I think this how-to category describes, and education, which is that second category. Mm. And I think what people are telling us is, yes, I would be very happy to invest an hour and learn how to do a specific thing, either in a specific piece of software or the broader steps that I would use to optimize my database, whether I'm using Oracle or Postgres or anything else.
Right.
And that's a very different kind of information than where I would put the education kind of offerings, which are much broader. Let's give you the basics that you need to do, and then you go forth and figure out how to do it.
Right.
So I think people are very much saying, yes, this is how we want to do our professional development, is with these short bits of training.
We certainly offer the opportunity for people who attend our one-hour webinars to receive continuing education credits, in particular for those people who are trying to get GIS certification. We always tell them that this can be part of your certification process. But I like your take on that. I think you're absolutely right about whether this is a viable alternative towards understanding more about a particular product, for example. Just to finalize everything, we've talked about webinars, we talked about conference attendance, and we talked about the use of social media. Is there any overarching conclusion that we can make about the connectivity opportunities that are available for GIS professionals? Do you see any trends here coming out of the reader survey?
I think what I'm seeing is a contrast between the fact that we really love our social media. We take advantage of it daily to get news and information. We're online. We're connecting with people that we've never met in real life. And yet, we're still very happy to go to a regional conference and meet with our neighbors. So, to put it kind of starkly, while in many cases geography does not matter when you're trying to gather information about your field, in other times it really does.
And I don't think that the online experience will ever replace the face-to-face experience. There's just something about meeting a person, sitting down, talking with them that is extremely valuable. And that really is what is put on the backs of the conference organizers, is to provide the value in these face-to-face discussions.
Take it beyond what you can do with social media.
Yeah. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the latest release of the ArcGIS Runtime SDK for iOS is now available. Install this version to prepare your mapping applications for iOS 6 devices. For more information and to download for free, visit esri.com/runtime.
And from us here at Directions, we'd like to remind you that you can register now for the GeoHuntsville Conference that will be November 8th and 9th in Huntsville, Alabama. Our focused topics that will be on commercial Earth observation systems and geospatial intelligence. You can find more information at geohuntsville.com. Also, our call for presentations for our 2013 Location Intelligence Conference is now open. More information on that is at locationintelligence.net. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag, or tweet us at Directions Mag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.